Good morning, everybody. Good job on the last name, Matt. My name is Steve Yergio, and I am the Environmental and Resource Management Agent for Ocean and Atlantic Counties with the Rutgers Cooperative Extension. That is a mouthful at 8:20 in the morning. But basically what I'm involved with is actually watershed hydrology. So my first confession up here is that I am not a soil scientist talking to soil scientists about soil compaction. So please forgive me if I misspeak some of the lingo, but I am trying. I learned a few years ago in studying watershed hydrology is that I was just basically in my own silo of dealing with water-related issues, water quality, water quantity, stormwater runoff. But then I started to get into the mode of thinking that soil is really what the watershed's all about. So a watershed is the area of land that drains all the water. It's not just the water itself. So I'm starting to take a different perspective and kind of bring in my water background and some of the soil work that we're starting to see in Rutgers and in New Jersey. One of the things I do want to warn you guys about is because I grew up in the Northeast and I grew up with a large family, I tend to talk very fast. If you notice that about me, please ask me to slow down. I am the youngest of six, and it's all boys. So if I needed something growing up like food and shelter, I really need to say it fast and get it out quick. So if I start to speak a little fast, just give me the slowdown sign. I'll do my best on that. So today what I'm going to talk to you guys about is a project that we're doing evaluating the impact that planting density has on soil compaction. And really the word preliminary should be in front of this talk. So we just started doing this project last year, and we just have a little bit of data that we're trying to work with and expand this project on. So really what we're talking about is the issue of compaction. Obviously, this is, you know, densification of soil, loss of air from the soil. It has a huge impact on agriculture. It's been studied for ages. One of the things that they did to study it was the conservation tillage to help reduce some of the compaction levels and infiltration rates. It also has an impact on home horticulture and landscaping. And really what we're finding in New Jersey is it's not so much an agricultural issue, it's really a land management issue. From residential areas, from development, from construction, we're starting to see the soils really get impacted on plant health in the more suburban and urban centers as opposed to agriculture. And the image on the left is actually Ocean County. This is in the southeastern portion of New Jersey. The right side of the map is really what's considered the Jersey Shore. Please don't let that old TV show influence your ideas of the Jersey Shore. But all the orange areas are areas classified by the USDA as being not very resistant to compaction, so you have a higher risk of getting these soils compacted based upon natural factors that are out there. So basically the whole county that I'm working in has a risk of being compacted by any sort of activity that happens on it. So that's kind of what we're dealing with. The gray areas are actually areas that are not rated. The big gray blob on the right side of that is actually Barnegat Bay, so it's water, so you can't rate soil compaction on water. So you can see kind of like the way we're looking at things and what we're dealing with in terms of the compaction levels during these kind of management activities. But like I said, I'm not a soil scientist, I'm a water guy. So I look at this from the water side, and basically I'm looking at infiltration and percolation and recharge of groundwater. Anytime you get a compacted soil, it tends to act like an impervious surface. You'll get surface runoff, you'll get ponding. The two photos at the bottom are actually from Georgian Court University, which is where we did this study. It's in Lakewood, New Jersey, and they were kind enough to have a couple of undergrads help us on the project. But you can see that anytime you have water going through an uncompacted or unconsolidated soil, it can kind of percolate down and get to where it's going. But if you have a compacted soil, it's going to run off over the land. And one of the ways that we're kind of approaching it from is a water quantity and a flooding issue. So we're trying to look at these residential landscapes as these little kind of pocket areas to help infiltrate water back in the ground to help not just with soil health, but also help with reducing flood waters as well and prevent the ponding that's happening as well. One of the other areas that people are starting to look at this kind of issue, especially with the ponding, is in mosquito control. And obviously the issues dealing with Zika and upcoming, you know, research that's happening with that, people are looking at that as well. So not only is it a problem, but there are several ways you can go about and manage and mitigate compaction. Agriculture has studied this for ages. They use conservation tillage. They do cover crops. They have the tillage radish or daikon that they plant. But there are other ways you can do it in kind of like the suburban urban setting. So they recommend not using heavy machinery when the soils are wet. You can actually mechanically break up compacted soil, but you know, if you don't actually remove the soil, which is one of the last things, you can kind of have compaction come back. Or if you just replace the topsoil or just bury it, you're kind of just burying the problem. It could come back later on. So one of the things that we wanted to do with this study is to basically assess the impact increasing planting density of a native plant species can have on compacted soil under unmowed conditions. So we're really looking at those kind of like landscaper campus turfed areas to actually reduce some of these compaction issues. And basically we just want to see is if we cram in enough plants, will the roots be able to break through the compaction that's there? That's the goal of this. And our hypothesis was yes, if we put in enough plants, we should be able to have the root systems grow through. So we wanted to use a deep-rooting warm season grass. So we used switchgrass, Panicum virgatum. And the way we set up the plots, we tested the plots prior to any of the work that we did on them to see what the turf grass was like. So we measured compaction levels using a penetrometer, so basically using the soil resistance as our surrogate for compaction. We did three test beds. Each test bed had 4 1-meter by 1-meter plots within them with varying numbers of plants in them. The numbers range from 0 plants as our control, 9 plants within that square meter, 25 and 49. The original plan was to do 0, 25, 50, and 100, but we realized that putting in 100 2-inch plugs in a 1 by 1 meter square area was basically we were replacing the soil. So it really wasn't going to have an impact of the plant roots themselves, so we actually had to scale back. So I guess in my mind, I can't spatially figure out how big a meter square is. So we actually scaled it back to half that. And plus, the good thing is we used squares, so we were able to do grids of evenly spaced plants. So in the 9 plants, we had 3 by 3, then we had 5 by 5, and we had 7 by 7, which made it easier to help plant. And I always put a picture on the bottom left of me actually doing the work to prove that I'm out there actually doing the work. So we planted these plots in November of 2014, and then we wound up monitoring them in May of 2015. The order of the plots was randomly determined, even though 2 of the plots go in order forwards and back. They were randomly determined, hand to God, yes, they were randomly determined. But the first one is 25-049. And so we chose switchgrass because because it was a warm season grass, its growing period would coincide when we were doing the actual testing of the various parameters we were looking at. And we only looked at a couple of things. So as I said, we looked at soil compaction and we used the soil resistance from a penetrometer as our kind of surrogate. We measured the depth until we hit 300 PSI. That's kind of been in the literature for urban and suburban soils, that's kind of what you would call a compacted, quote-unquote, soil. So that's what we went with. We also measured soil water content. We collected composite samples from each of the test beds and sent them off to the Rutgers Soil Testing Lab, gave us back soil water content as a percentage. We also did an inspection, just a physical inspection observation of the plant health. If the plants looked like they were dying, we would replace them, but we only did that in the first year of the study. We didn't do that this past year. We would also weed the plots as needed, but last year and this year, we weeded the plots prior to sampling in May and after sampling in September. Ooh, and I will mention the order of doing the actual compaction soil water content test score. We tested prior to removal of the turf. Then in the bottom left corner, you can see we removed the turf down to the root zone, so it was about 3 or 4 inches down. We then immediately tested the soil resistance right after that to see what would happen if we just removed the turf. We measured soil compaction and soil water content immediately after planting, and then we started doing the monitoring between May and September, and we did the monitoring every 3 weeks or so, regardless of ambient climate conditions, which I'll go into in a second. So what we found is that for the soil compaction depth, after removing the turf, basically just stripping off that top layer of turf, we were able to see an increase in the depths we were able to get to by 81%. It went from a mean from about 2.5 inches down to just over 4.5 inches, 4.7 inches. So we did see an increase just by removing the turf. So we don't know if the turf had gotten managed to the point that it just had really densely packed root system and that was causing some of the compaction issues and it wasn't so much the soil itself. It could have been the plants that were there. And I'm also not advocating that people go home and strip their lawns of all the turf and just leave bare soil out there. But we did see an increase immediately after that. Immediately after planting, we measured the compaction again, and there was no difference among all the different plots that we had. So we're kind of starting off from ground zero at a nice even playing field. At the end of the study, we did see that there was a significant difference between the plots that had no plants and the plots that had plants, but only when we got rid of the lowest soil water content values. We started to see that there was a very strong relationship between soil water content and compaction levels we were getting. For the past 2 years in New Jersey, we've been in a precipitation deficit, so we've had very dry soils, and we did not irrigate these plots during the study period. We were like, okay, we're going to put in native plants. Let's see what happens naturally with everything. So when we take out the lowest soil water content values, anything below 15%, we were able to see a significant difference between no plants and any number of plants that were out there. Like I said, with the soil water content, we did see a range from 4.6% to 25.1% during that sampling period, and it was very strongly correlated with the compaction level during the study period. And when we did the visual observations of plant health was good despite the dry conditions that we had for the past couple of years. So it was pretty good that the plants were actually surviving out on their own. So the benefit of using native plants, they're used to the soil conditions, they're used to the climate conditions, they were able to survive even though it was pretty dry out there. Oh, there's the okay. So this is just the mean soil compaction depth that we were able to get. I apologize for not having error bars up there. But this is for the entire study. So this is the high and the low soil water contents all put together. So you can see that with the number of plants that you have, the second, third, and fourth bars on the right, you can see that we got a little bit deeper than we did when we had no plants out there. But since this is all the data combined, we really didn't see a significant difference between these. It was only when we looked at the kind of wetter conditions in the soil that we were able to see a difference. So we're starting to think that maybe the soil water content is really the bigger driver than having the plant material out there as well in determining compaction in the soils that we're looking at. And I do want to point out the soils that we had were sandy loam soils. We had that tested prior to everything at the beginning. The Evesboro series, I believe, is the one that we're looking at. So when looking at the soil water content, which is on the y-axis, and the depth of soil compaction is on the x, you can see that the very strong relationship between how wet the soil is and the compaction that we're able to see for this particular study. As you go down on the y-axis, you're getting to drier conditions. As you go to the left on the x-axis, you're getting more compacted. So these guys here, if I can get the mouse, these guys here are kind of our confounding data points because it's not really the plant roots that are having an impact on the compaction level. It's really the dry conditions that we're looking at. So one of the things that we're thinking is that we actually have two distinct sets of data here. We have the ones that are more under wetter soil water conditions, and you got ones that are under lower soil water conditions. So we have a dry and a moist condition. We might be able to tease out some information. We're starting to look at the drier conditions to see what effect the plants would have even under those kind of drier conditions. So quote unquote, a drought. Are these plants still able to better reduce the impact of the drying of the soil on compaction as opposed to just having the bare soil that's out there as well? So that's one of the things we're looking at in the future. So just our preliminary conclusions is when we were talking about the planting density. The native plants did much better than the mowed turf across the board. It was a significant difference between putting in the native plants and the mowed turf. And as I mentioned before, any number of plants was better than not having any plants at all. So having just bare soil that's just exposed to get compacted. When we were looking at the compaction, looking at the soil resistance, the drier conditions, as I mentioned, led to more compacted soils, and that might be the actual overriding factor than the actual number of plants or the type of plant material you have out there. But at the beginning of the survey, under the turf conditions, we found that it was about 2.6 inches, 6.5 centimeters that we were able to get down with the soil resistance at the start. And then at the end of this, in September, we were able to get down over 5 inches. So we did see a significant increase overall of lessening that compaction level. So we were able to see a little bit of improvement on the compaction that was out there as well. We do have an undergraduate student who's working on this project as well. She received some funding recently to replicate this study in two other plots, but she's also including infiltration measurements, and she's doing measurements of the turf areas that are right next to the plots that she has as well, which are some of the things that we didn't have in the original study that she's starting to basically learn from my mistakes on to actually move forward with that. So she's monitoring this site to kind of see what control. We do have plans in the future to terminate the plots and actually pull out the plants and see what their root systems are like, do a biomass study to see if that had anything to do with it as well. So thank you very much for your time, and if you have any questions, I'll take them. So this is actually the turf removal, and just as an aside, one of the benefits of being the person who takes the pictures is you're not the person who's actually doing the work to rip out the turf and stuff, so it's really great. And the student who's working on continuing the project is actually the blonde in the middle, Anastasia. She's really taken on this project. She originally was debating whether or not she was going to go into more environmental science and ecology, or if she was going to go to medical school. We've convinced her not to go to medical school, so she's going to stay in ecology and environmental science because of the projects that we've been working on. So. the factors that they looked at for with the USDA data that that's based on were things like depth to the water table, the texture of the sands, the soils that are there. It's mostly sand, and there's a high organic content. One of the big things that we have in our county is we have the Pinelands Preservation Area, which has a high organic content in its soil, which tends to actually lead to some of the natural compaction, because as that stuff breaks down, it kind of pulls the particles a little bit closer together. So it's those kind of things that they're looking at. Most of the soils that we have are liquid sands, which tend to promote a lot of infiltration. The other thing that's in there is, one of the things I didn't show is we actually do, despite having that Pinelands Preservation Area, we do have a lot of development in our county. That right side where the Jersey Shore is, it's Long Beach Island, it's all shore homes and stuff. There's basically not that much open space out there. So there's a combination of factors that go into that. It was kind of startling to me to see that, to be like, oh, USDA thinks we have this risk of getting compacted soils, which is kind of what led us to start looking at options to manage it. Yeah, the one of the things that we're doing right now is we've partnered with the New Jersey NRCS office and the soil scientist. He's actually come out and done a round of ground penetrating radar on our plots to see how far down. Are you guys familiar with ground penetrating radar? It's basically a radar that goes down into the soil, and it can actually see the different densities of the soil to see if we're actually having an impact on that. So he's done a couple of passes for us in the process of processing that data through the plots and also the turf areas that are still adjacent to the plots. And they also did soil bulk density measurements along with that as well. So we're trying to combine all this data. That's why I said the word preliminary should really be at the start of the talk and stuff. But those are other things. It was the surrogate that we were using to do kind of like this quick and dirty assessment method of whether or not we were having an impact on it. So.
Great. Well, we can carry on with the discussion
Thank you.
After the session. Thank you very much.